Welcome back. Time to wrap up KER Politics, chatting with a really, really interesting, highly qualified guest, Jason Kilmer. Jason was referred to us by his publicist. We spent a fair amount of time chatting with him on my mic. I got to tell you, between Jimmy and Jason Kilmer, these are two of the best interviews, in my opinion, that we have ever done. Jason, let's flip over to China. We talked about Russia in the last segment. I want to go over to China right now. I think that China represents the largest threat to the free world. I don't want to say that Russia does not represent a threat, because it certainly does, but China, in my opinion, is definitely number one. Would you agree with that?
I would, and I'll take an interesting, I think, angle, and the way to express that is, so we're still dealing with the coronavirus. 4.5 million people, maybe 5.5 million, have died around the world. And the world cannot marshal the strength to pressure China into an effective investigation. So what does that say about China's power vis-a-vis the rest of the world order? If we are not willing to crack down on a country where a situation originated from that killed literally millions of citizens around the world, wow, that is an indictment on the other powers of the world and an assertion of China's strength that I think echoes.
You know, this is very, very concerning to me personally, to watch not just the failure to mobilize, to ask questions and demand some answers through an investigation process, an open investigation process, but to actually watch international organizations like the World Health Organization, OSCE, NATO, EU, the United States State Department actually making excuses and helping support an authoritarian surveillance state regime continue to perpetuate the cover-up that they have or any responsibility for what has been the most devastating, the most significant event in human history, that affected so much of the world economically, both, you know, medically, but more importantly, the absolute, like, breaking of different ties and institutions that have, you know, run across borders. And in my view, at the support of not only global corporation elite that are basically now selling out to the Chinese, but also to the governments that are most threatened in the long term by the expansion of a Chinese-type regime. And to me, it is very disconcerting, and I think many people fail to see that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll jump in and say what we're witnessing is very analogous to, right, what we were witnessing about 100 years ago. And the personalization, which is an interesting verb, but of this regime under Xi, right, who's just about to be cemented for another 5 years. Maybe he holds on longer than that, maybe he doesn't. But his personal credibility is now at stake for things like taking Taiwan. And anytime you see, right, we've seen this movie before, a dictatorship exists. One dictator ends up coming in, corralling control, trying to build that sort of cult of personality. Hence, you know, they have to try to purge even mocking cartoon images of him.
Yeah, the Mao, the Stalins, the, yeah.
Right.
Those, yeah.
We've all seen this play before, guys, and it doesn't end well, especially because of the groupthink and the fear even within that governing body itself, when there's one man that no one can say no to. And that's where I'm afraid we're headed.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. And the unfortunate reality is they do hold so much economic influence and power, and they have spent a tremendous, the Chinese Communist Party has done such a good job through Belt and Road initiatives, through these expansive processes, expanding their diplomatic power, their military power, economic power, and the information. And they've gotten people like, Tim Cook negotiating with Apple and sacrificing data and control to help them build their surveillance state system in order to get into the market to sell more iPhones. And I recently read it was about $285 billion deal that apparently he cut. And you've got many, many global corporations that now look at the opportunities to go into China. And I will say many of them are the media companies that actually used to be pretty well driven in the United States and most influential and powerful. ABC, Disney, NBC, Comcast, CBS, Viacom, CNN and the whole AT&T network. They're all looking at that opportunity. Multiple billions of dollars worth of investments will go tenfold in a 10-year period from many of their analyst perspectives. And you get JP Morgan Chase analysts, you get some of these other analyst corporations that actually advise, BlackRock and then these big companies that are advising, hey, this is the future, this is where to go. And they are sacrificing the basic values that allow them to capitalistically increase the power they're at today. And they're doing that very, very rapidly, selling out data, selling out information in order to look at that capital gain or whatever that comes from that. And it's going to absolutely, in my view, it's going to come back to haunt all of the world with the level of control that Xi is attempting to seek. And then, again, as you mentioned, what's happening behind the scenes inside the Communist Party itself. It's a little bit, you're right. We've seen this story before, but it's also incredibly disturbing to see it, to understand it, and to know that many other people see it as well, but they're afraid to say anything because they will be crushed both. And this is the biggest problem with the tech industry and the same big media companies that really silence the voices of what's happening in the future.
Any comments, Jason?
Yeah, and I'll say I agree with that. And I think what we're going to begin to understand is these companies as collaborators. And I think the American people are starting to have that awareness of that daily censorship and self-censorship on behalf of these companies, right? Where not only are they waiting to hear from Chinese authorities, very often they will just self-censor ahead of putting out a media product. But the American people, I think, are going to start to wake up to that. And I think in a decade or two, we're going to look back on that, much like we looked at some firms that cooperated with certain regimes back in the 1920s, 1930s, and 1940s.
Yes, yeah, certainly Siemens and Mitsubishi, some of these companies, many of them are still around, unfortunately. And that's a problem when you don't have accountability for people that are actually influencing outcomes in elections because there's so much money and power, and that they're appeasing them.
Yep. I think that accountability word is important too, right? Because I look at this administration, they came into power saying, we're going to pursue these big bets. We're going to do these multilateralist projects on climate and on Iran. And here we stand 1 year in, and they couldn't even get Xi to show up at the Glasgow summit. Yeah. And the Iran deal is dead on arrival. And they held on to 2015 expectations in 2021 for what was achievable there. And so what we're not seeing on behalf of the foreign policy establishment here in D.C. is the right degree of accountability for what are objective failures. These are objective foreign policy failures, and I think D.C.'s gotten a little too comfortable in that regard.
You guys, we're going to have to wrap this thing up because we've only got about 2 minutes left here, but I have time to ask each of you, not just you, Jason, but both of you, let me tell you what I think the bottom line is in the United States here in terms of how we're acting. I think it's a case of nationalism versus globalism. On the side of globalism, you certainly have Jeff Bezos, you certainly have Bill Gates, and you certainly have Apple. There's no question about that. I think once that conundrum can be solved, and perhaps America can come together once and for all, whether they want to be nationalistic or globalistic, I think then a lot of these problems might be somewhat solved. Jimmy, why don't you start out and then turn it over to Jason, if you would.
Yeah, we just got just a few seconds here, and I really think that there has to be action in this next Congress that actually takes away some of the power and influence of some of these major corporations that are actually selling out those fundamental principles of the Constitution that actually allowed them to get to where they are.
Agree or disagree, Jason?
I agree, and I think that, we see this turn towards nationalism, which is a good thing. We're also turning inwards, which I totally understand, but we have to be careful that if we turn inwards too far, we're setting ourselves up for big problems towards the end of this decade.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been one of the better shows. Jason, thank you so much. Jimmy, you're wonderful. Thank you.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.